People say to me all the time, who cares what happens in prison? It never affects me. I don't know anybody in prison and I don't plan on going myself. All this may be true, and the people in prison can have a direct impact on your life. Just before Christmas of 2014, two cops were shot dead, execution style, while they sat in their patrol car in Brooklyn, New York City. I know, I was in New York City that day. I visited the site of the killing and the next day and personally witnessed people screaming at the cops who were there that the murders were the fault of the police. My son and me, we had to leave because he promised his mother that I wouldn't end up on the news for punching some asshole in the mouth on the 6 o'clock news. What does any of this have to do with prison? The killer, who I won't name here, was from Baltimore, Maryland, according to the New York Daily News. He was a member of the Black Gorilla family, a prison gang. I was well acquainted with the head of the gang, James Doc Holliday. He was in USP Marion, where I was a guard for over 23 years. Most of the time, he was in Dog Unit, the place where he concentrated the leaders of the gangs, the mafia, and other criminal organizations. The warden once said that we put all the leaders in one unit to keep them from organizing an assault or breakouts. If everybody's a chief and no Indians, then all that happens is the convicts argue over who's in charge and nobody has the time to actually do anything. I do know this was the unit that was the one always attempting to communicate with the outside world. Once the patrolman on the yard called me and pointed to a bird sitting in midair, not flying, but just sitting there. He seemed to be like levitating or something. As a side note, D unit was meant to stop the leaders from communicating so easily with their fellow members. K unit was designed to stop all outside communication. Today, that role is filled by the CMU, or Communications Management Unit. That unit will be shut down in the near future at Marion. It seems that the whining of the followers of those in the unit are being heard by the hires up in the BOP. They will make the mistake that the UK did and allow the infection of radical ideas to spread throughout the prison system. But don't worry, you will not have to face the consequences. You'll be safely shoveled into your grave by the time my grandchildren will have to face the terror bombs and the killings. Upon further investigation, I found that a very thin piece of fishing line was tied from one upstairs window of the cell house. What was happening was that the convicts in one building was sending notes to the convicts in the other building by this fishing line. It was invisible to all of us, except that the bird could see it, and he sat on it, like they do on telephone wires. If it was not for this bird, who knows how long the line would have gone unnoticed. I have no idea how long it was there. It was a constant battle for us to cut off the leaders of these groups, like the Black Gorilla family, from their followers. The gang was formed in 1966 by Black Panther member George Jackson at the San Quentin State Prison in California. Today they have members and chapters from California to Michigan. They make millions of dollars a year. The current leader, called the Supreme Commander, is Doc Holliday. He was once a member of the Symbionese Liberation Army. If you were alive in the 70s, you will recall the kidnapping of Patty Hearst. Yes, Doc was a member of that SLA. The organization is structured like a military organization with military ranks. They're a Marxist-Leninist group inspired by Marcus Garvey. Their stated purpose is to eradicate racism, maintain dignity in prison, and overthrowing of the United States government. Members ID one another by tattoos and the ability to use some Swahili language phrases. Members have been known to carry Mao's Little Red Book. They associate with and sometimes cooperate with other leftist groups such as the Symbionese Liberation Army, the Black Liberation Army, the Weather Underground, Chicano Liberation Front, and the Red Gorilla Family. All these groups believe that it must overthrow the U.S. government by any means. The BGF recruits from other prison gangs like the Crips, the Bloods, NOI, Black Panthers or a member of the 415 gang. To stay off the radar, the new members are told to display all the symbols of their prior gang. That way it'll fool the authorities into thinking the BGF is much smaller than it is in fact. I was told by the prisoner intelligence section that the BGF is one of the smallest threat groups in the federal system, but they are really like an iceberg. You can see a little bit, but hiding in the shadows are 20 for every one that you see. They're also known by the name of the Black Vanguard, you know, the Black Family. It was Doc Holliday that gave the name its, you know, gave the group its final name, the Black Guerrilla Family. That is guerrilla as in fighter of an insurrection, not the animal in the forest, by the way. He named the gang when the original commander, George Jackson, was killed in 1971 while attempting to escape prison. In 2013, the city of Baltimore's jail was in essence taken over by the gang. With the help of five correctional officers, two prisoners, and a cook, the gang was said to deal drugs, extort people, intimidate witnesses. So said the Baltimore prosecutor who had them arrested. The ability to corrupt correctional employees is what makes the gang so dangerous to me. I must rely on my federal, or my federal co-workers for my very life. I need to count on them to be on my side and not the convicts when the chips are down. This means something to you, dear viewer, because the gang has instigated serious disorder in some of our major cities. The Baltimore City riots were directly instigated by the BGF. So said the Baltimore FBI field office in a memo that they released to law enforcement prior to the riots. The targeting of white police officers for ambush and assassination. It seems the gang wanted to send a message to the white cops that incidents and the response to unrest in Ferguson, Missouri would no longer be taken lying down by the black community. Michael Brown, Eric Garner, you know, deaths like that in the future would be met with the deaths of white people, especially police officers. During the riots in the city, members of the Crips and Bloods directed rioters away from black-owned businesses and pointed out Asian and Middle Eastern properties to be destroyed. Black Guerrilla Family, Crips, Bloods announced that they would work together to murder law enforcement officers. It is said that each gang planned to kill one police officer. BGF sports some of the city's most violent criminals. Islamists who sympathize with ISIS, like the Nation of Islam, Marxists, are behind the riots. They are working together to create as much chaos and dissension as is possible. The move by the BGF has spawned the current fear of police safety nationwide. I know the cops are scared. Recently, when I went to requalify with my firearm, the guy doing the test, a current police officer by the way, said that he was glad of us correctional officers were there. He made a big deal about how we were all brother law enforcement officers. Now that's a vast difference. When the exact same guy told me before the Baltimore riots that he and his fellow officers felt correctional officers, retired or not, shouldn't be allowed to carry guns in the state of Illinois. Like all criminal gangs, the BGF had its share of infighting. In 1979, lawyer for the BGF, Faye Stender, was shot five times by Black Guerrilla Family member Edward Glenn Brooks, who had just gotten out of prison on parole. Brooks thought Stender had betrayed the gang. Brooks forced Stender to state, Faye Stender, admit, I betrayed George Jackson and the prison movement when they needed me most. Then he shot her five times. Stender didn't die, but was paralyzed and left in constant pain for the rest of her short life. She killed herself shortly after she testified against Brooks. In 1989, the founder and leader of the Black Panther Party, Huey P. Newton, was shot dead in West Oakland by BGF member Tyrone Robinson. Former Black Panther Party members who became BGF members in jail had become angry with Newton for his abandonment of the Black Panther members while they were locked up. Hugh Pearson wrote a book called Shadow of the Panther. He said that Newton was addicted to crack cocaine and taxed local BGF drug pushers to feed his heroin habit, or crack habit. Robinson was convicted of the murder and got a 32-year sentence. Officer John Fay of the Oakland Police Department was shot to death in an altercation with Newton during a traffic stop on October the 17th, 1967. Factions grew to oppose the recognition of BDF leaders such as Otis Jitsu Siddiqui Smith and Ronald Red Burton in Southern California. Michael Stover, James and Harold Benson in the Bay Area, Romaine Fitzgerald in Soledad, and Sean Garland in Pelican Bay. Using the old Vanguard name, a new faction started in 1978 at the Dual Vocational Institute that opposed the communist policies and the harsh punishments used by the BGF to discipline its members. Some Crypt gang members felt the BGF favored the Bloods. They declared a war against the BGF at Folsom Prison in 1979. In 1981, the BGF started a war against the Vanguard, killing one convict and severely injuring others. Huey, Sugar Bear Wilds, and Michael Dora are identified as Vanguard leaders and have attempted to reorganize the gang. In 1977, a group within the BGF in the cities of Oakland and San Francisco that call itself the Black August Organizing Committee, or BAOC, which kind of reminds me of the British Airline Overseas Corporation. Its purpose was to unite all blacks in the West Coast gangs on the streets and in prison under one banner. They had some limited success, but, you know, inter-gang fighting kills more people than all the school shootings that have ever taken place in America in a single year. Now, with all this gang violence, you'd think that one gang leader would never assist another. But you'd be wrong. In court testimony of powerful prison gang leaders like Wayne Bridgewater of the Aryan Brotherhood and James Doc Holliday of the Black Gorilla family, backing up Mexican mafia figure Silvador, and I don't know how you say this name, Chicali Rivera's claim that he was correct in believing he was marked for death, and it was self-defense when he and another Mexican mafia member beat and stomped to death Miguel Tati Torres. Torres told Rivera to give him his shoes, so he had to die. So, what you had was a white racist gang leader and a black racist gang leader help out their fellow Hispanic racist gang leader. Prison makes for some strange bedfellows, don't it? You know, what's next? The Black Panthers and the Ku Klux Klan will hold a joint rally or something. This was not the only time the leader of the BGF testified in favor of the ABs. In a 1997 race riot at a prison in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, that resulted in the murder of two DC blacks, the government blamed two Aryan Brotherhood members for ordering the hits. The two AB members were currently incarcerated at USP Marion at the time. They were Barry, the Baron Mills, and T.D., the Hulk, Bingham. At the trial, James Doc Holliday and 10 Aryan Brotherhood members at most were at this prison, while the DC blacks were the majority. Holliday said DC blacks had a type of violent mentality that didn't exist among other prison gangs. He said the racial strife was largely instigated by the black prison gang, with the Aryan Brotherhood just defending itself. When tensions started to rise among black and white inmates in 1996 and 97, Mills tried to ease the problem rather than inflame it. I know him, and I know that he wouldn't initiate something like that because he knows the consequences, he said. Only the young and foolish and the uninitiated would start something like that in prison. That's what Doc Holliday testified to in court. At the same time, another convict of the Crips testified that the D.C. blacks vastly outnumbered the white supremacist gang, which had to act in self-defense. I remember Doc as being an intense type of person. He stayed out of trouble for the most part. If he needed something done, he would just order an underling to do it. The really big and powerful in prison don't cause trouble as a rule. They don't have to. Everybody knows who they are, and there is no need to prove anything. It's like Doc says, it's the young and uninitiated that cause most of the problems in prison. As I've said elsewhere, even other black people don't like DC blacks. A case in point, when the BGF and the Crips will testify for the Aryan Brotherhood, they're sworn enemies. One of the things you may notice if you watch enough of my videos is the times I mention these names over and over. Many of these people I talk about are interrelated in their activities. Often, when talking about a white supremacist gang, he will have cooperated with or allowed the activities of a black supremacist gang. They do assist each other in other than to maintain the peace. This includes sanctioning murders of their own group, and in rare situations, golly, get out of here, bug. I've seen it happen. Doc Holliday continues to serve his two life sentences for drug offenses at the ADX in Florence, Colorado prison today. Have you heard? For $1, you can join patreon.com/asthekeyturns, and you can watch these videos without commercial interruption every week, not just once a month. And you can participate in our Facebook page and have discussions with other fans or make comments about the videos. You can also, at higher levels than the dollar, you can also see the documents that I use to produce the videos. To back up what I'm saying is the truth. You can see the signatures of the wardens when they transferred the inmates that we talked about from one penitentiary to another or from one facility to another. Sometimes you can even see the death certificates and know where the individual is buried, if that's kind of the thing that you really want to do. If you want to delve that deep, I have the documents. So, try me out for $1. It's kind of like a free trial if you start right after the beginning of the month. You don't actually get billed until the beginning of the next month. So, give us a try. See if it's something that you like. And if you do, take no action and just stay there. If you don't like it, well, cancel your subscription and pay nothing. So it doesn't sound like a bad deal to me. But if you want to sign back up later, you don't get another free month. You have to pay right away. So keep that in mind. So give us a try. See if it's something that you want to do.